Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Let's see if it takes a second. Last time I looked like an idiot again. Survivor specialists Phil and Robert are back. We are joined today by Brendan Shapiro for our episode 6 predictions and power rankings for Survivor Island of the Idols. As everybody who is watching this stream can tell, Brendan is wearing his Washington Nationals hat. So if you're wondering where Alexa is, that is exactly where Alexa is at the Washington Nationals game. So that's why you're all with Robert. Robert's here, but Robert and Brendan have met before. So this is great.
Yeah. Well, I met Bradley, last summer. Well, I mean, but now I get to meet Brendan, and I like Brendan better because Bradley makes fun of me and says that I suck at spikeball, even though I already know that. So
imagine that, Bradley taking it to a dark place. Hey, but first, speaking of dark places, Phil, first of all, condolences a week late on the loss of Chelsea Walker. I know that was a big one for you. I don't know. Have you been able to shake it off?
I really haven't. I like that we talked for 20 minutes before this podcast began. You don't bring up Chelsea once. That's the first thing you bring up. Just, you know, low blow right away, right to the gut. No, I know. It was tough. I just wasn't expecting it. And when I was looking at this season and I'm looking at the people left and I look at how Tom Laidlaw goes last week, I can't help but think that Lyra made a mistake getting rid of Chelsea. So as much as I was getting crap for it on the internet, I think it was a big mistake.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's tough to see for somebody like Chelsea because she is wearing it on her sleeve now in kind of the week's post game. And I totally get it because, you know, I'm somebody like her who tried out lots of times. And so to have it end, you know, what feels prematurely is a tough deal. So, and then to relive it on TV is hard. So, so actually I was making light of it, but to Chelsea, I actually reached out to Chelsea, but it's a tough deal. So I'm hopefully she'll, you know, she's cool. It's like, she'll get through it and process it like we all do. And move on.
You were also 17th, right?
Yes. Yeah. I was 17th. Okay. Yep.
So now when I eventually do like another pre-merge power rankings and everything, who do I put down as the best 17th place finisher?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you should do a poll or something.
A poll.
Leave it to the
Phil. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but like whenever there's someone that I really want to win, like preseason, they always get voted out in 17th. So it was Brendan and then Rick Devens and then Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it's like, I shouldn't want anyone to win Survivor ever because then they'll be cursed.
Yeah. Ours were super different though. Cause Chelsea's was a blindside. It was like a slow motion car crash that I saw coming. So it was, there were different kinds of evictions.
Yeah. And yours, because you had a tribe swap so early in the season, this one, I do like that this season waited for the tribe swap. I think swapping after two tribals is too quick. And I know you were on the losing end of both of those, but it's just too fast. You don't get to know anybody yet.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think waiting a little bit longer makes sense. And so what did they waited for four vote outs?
Yeah, it's four here.
Yeah, that's like, way better.
It'll just be one, I think.
What's that?
It'll just be one tribe swap. Looks like.
Yeah, it looks like. I mean, I don't see how they'd fit another one in there. So,
yeah.
But let's talk. You mentioned Tom getting voted out last week. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk Tom getting voted out last week.
So I don't understand how that makes any sense. Because usually when a person gets voted out, it's either because they're annoying, or which is not generally a good idea to vote somebody out, but it happens, or because they're threatening, right? Mm-hmm. And in Tom's case, or because they're no use in challenges, right? And in Tom's case, like, he meets none of those criteria, right? He's not, in my view, he's non-threatening. Like, what's so great about Tom is he plays a straight ahead game. So like, as a Survivor player, you want to be with people who are predictable. And Tom is like super predictable. You know, he tells you what he's doing, and he's that guy who I think you bring him along until late game, and he's kind of a loyal number. And so it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not sure how they arrived at Tom. It almost feels like there's something we didn't see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I tried to make a defense for this tribe and what they were doing, and I made a defense for Jamal, Kelly, Jack, and Janet, and why saying this was a good move, because maybe you're showing loyalty to the old members of Vokai who are on the other side, saying, look at us, we just voted out one of the stronger people, we'll keep Karishma, we're probably going to keep losing challenges, but we'll always have Karishma and Dean to get rid of. Worst case scenario, we get rid of Nora. I just don't like that Tom was the first one they get rid of. I think you get rid of Dean before you get rid of Tom, because Dean seems like he's going to try to be sneaky. He's going to try to do something. He's Detective Dean. And I loved his post where he was standing in front of the NYPD car as Detective Dean. I think that's fantastic. But
that's really good. Yeah.
I would get rid of him before I get rid of Tom. Tom is always going to sit there and say, look, this is what I'm doing. I am going to vote this way. I'm going to work with these people. And it's not like that tribe, it's not like Vokai's new people, Jamal, Nora, Kelly, Jack, and Janet, who are just meeting Tom, can't somehow get Tom to work with them. It's Tom hasn't already, you know, said I'm only working with Lyra the rest of the game. So maybe you pull him in, you show him that he can trust you, and then he doesn't have a choice but to work with you the rest of the game. And plus, if he wants to go back to the other side and be loyal to his original tribe, there's gonna be so few of them left, it doesn't matter anyway. So I really don't understand how this was the right move either. I think Tom got robbed. In his exit press, he said he wasn't shocked. So I said that last week, too. I feel like this was one where the editors just left us in the dark just for the sake of leaving us in the dark. But, you know, Tom is gone. And it sucks. Tom and Chelsea back to this does. And Brendan was one of the most vocal when I was doing this, the preseason pre-merge power rankings. And I put his season at number three, and he really heavily disagreed and said that it should have been at least number two. But I did have Heroes versus Villains up there ahead of it. This is giving that Ghost Island vibe of like, why are we losing people that I like so frequently? I don't want, why did we lose Molly and then Vince and then Chelsea? And now we're losing Tom. Why is this happening? What did I do?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've gotten to the crux of Modern Survivor, right?
Yeah.
It's like people play pretty aggressively out of the gate so, you know, it's hard. I think it's hard to play a strong game. And I think you got to catch a few breaks along the way, right? So, you know, maybe you need to be on the tribe. If you're strong, be on the tribe early on that just doesn't go to tribal council. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's a hard deal. But I like, you know, the strategy, I think, for strong players is to pair up and kind of find safety in numbers. And so it looks like, you know, Tommy and Aaron are starting to go that way. And I think that's the only way you can play it, you know, when you're one of the stronger people out there. So
I totally agree.
It kind of feels like the strong people this season have been like taking shots at each other and, you know, trying to see like who the last strong person left is. But like, it feels like a risky game to play. Cause you know, you're in the line of fire, like,
way. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not the right game to play. I think it's not a winning game. It'll get you some time on TV early, but it's not the long game. I think,
I think it's winning if you're like the last person left. Right. But you know, if you want to take that like 10% chance or something, like, I don't know, it doesn't seem very likely.
Well, when we get to whenever we're ready to start the rankings, my number one person is, I think, going to play that long game. And so I'll tell you about that.
This is why I like having Brendan on. He says, when we get to the rankings, I will like tell you, and he still doesn't give us the name. If this was Bradley or something like that, he'd be like, my number 16 is this. And this is what, you know, just right off the bat, ruin the podcast.
We're 5 minutes in the podcast. Like, how are we at 16?
Yeah, exactly. That's just what he would do. Last week actually wasn't a bad one for most people. Tom was scattered throughout. I have to add it up for all of our patrons who are partaking in the in the game with us. But as of right now, the scores for myself is 37. Alexa/Robert has 28 and Team Survivor has 24. So, you know, it's pretty even across the board. Johnny Fairplay and I both picked Tom Laidlaw for the Eliminator game. So, Brendan, you're not even going to be doing the Eliminator game today because Fairplay's out. And it's Alexa versus Vaughn, which is my favorite thing ever because they've made a collective two appearances on podcasts this season. So that's my favorite thing, is that they're the last two remaining in this game while, you know, the rest of us over here working our asses off and we're all out of it already. But we can go into them now, Brendan, if you want. You've already teased it. Let's hear who your number one is.
All right. So number one is Tommy. Now the thing about Tommy is we're being spoon fed almost that he's getting a winner's edit. Like, mm-hmm. It's so much that I start to doubt myself because it's like, he's getting a heavy winner's edit. You know, he's getting like, he's always talking, but he's not usually talking about things that are central to the action in the episode. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like just talking for the sake of showing that he's strategic and insightful. Right. Which is always a good sign. Like, I remember, I think at a minimum he's getting a day 39 edit. Right. Like, I remember, when I went on with you guys last season, Julie, I remember saying that like, Julie's getting like the, hey, she's insightful and smart content, like episode two. Right. So, I think Tommy's there, and they showed at the end of the last episode where Tommy is kind of bringing Aaron in and they're going at that strategy of like, hey, let's stick together. Cause alone we're in trouble. So I think that's a smart way to go for guys like them. And I think Tommy is, I think at a minimum, he's a day 39 guy. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, he's like, you know, the sixth out or whatever, but I think he's a final four, final three.
Yeah. And I made a reference to him hosting the Last Supper last week at Applebee's. He was the one who was making the toast, sitting in the middle of the table, all that. He might be there for the Last Supper on this season as well. I mean, he's being our narrator, but like you said, he's also getting insightful narration. It's not just that he's narrating the Applebee's scene. We're also getting a lot of strategy talk from Tommy, him and Aaron getting together and talking. And yeah, there's a difference between just narrating something for the sake of narrating it, because this person just happened to talk about it the best that episode. And then there's a difference between that and, okay, they're narrating it, and also they're trying to work it to their advantage, which is what he was trying to do, getting with Aaron, getting with Misty, it seemed like. And so, yeah, I love Tommy. He's my number two, not my number one. This week I have to put Kelly at number one. mainly because she has to play that idol this week. It's the only time she has to play it. Not that she's going to get blindsided anyway by her group, but the next time they go to tribal, she can't go home. She's got the idol. And I don't think she'll even play it though.
Just to be clear, it was good for 3 votes where she's present, right?
She has to be present at them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So this is her last one. So she's gone to 2. This will be her 3rd one. And I think that I don't think she'll play it, to be completely honest, because I don't think she wants anybody to know that she has the idol, especially since they're not coming after her. She is the least threatening person on that track. Her and Janet are going to the merge. So anybody who's like, I believe those 2 are locks to go to the merge. Maybe they try to pull a blindside on Jack and Jamal at some point. I don't know. Nora, I'm never going to be sold on getting anywhere yet. And then you have Dean and Karishma. But I think Kelly and Janet are definitely going to hit the merge. So I put Kelly at 1, and then I put Tommy at 2. Moving him out of my 1 spot for the first time since Chelsea's.
Yeah, I forgot the fact that Kelly has to use her idol means it's all powerful, right? So she's, she probably should have been my 1, but whatever. It's neither of them are going home.
Well, so I originally had Tommy as 1, but because I haven't gone yet, I'm going to switch up the order and now I've got his 1. I do have Tommy at 2 though now. I think also with this Survivor game that we're seeing the contestants play, Tommy aligning himself with big threats that could be voted out, that'll help him with his longevity, the classic Jeremy Collins strategy. So
yeah,
I think it's safe along with Kelly, last time to play your idol. So
it's just crazy how much everybody is in agreement on this Tommy thing, which makes me wonder, could it be this obvious from day 1? There's no way, right?
Yeah, well, and that's my only reservation with Tommy is that it's almost too much, right? So maybe it's a red herring and they're throwing us off. But I don't think if they are throwing us off, it's not like he's going this week or next week or the following. You know, it would be like a.
He would still end up being. Yeah, he'd still end up being a fan favorite on the season who goes deep into the merge. I'd be surprised if he's not getting deep into the merge. Otherwise, this is a bizarre, bizarre edit. And I'm sorry, Brendan, but Ghost Island pre-mergers are dropping down a spot before if Tommy ends up in the pre-merge here. All right, so who's your 2, Brandon?
So Callie, but I mean they're interchangeable really. And you said it. She's got an idol that she has to play. So obviously, I mean, unless she plays it for somebody else, which is I think unlikely, she's safe. So and she's looks like she's really savvy and smart and she's getting a lot of good content. So I can't see Kelly going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think about her chances to win, though? I know everybody's kind of on the Tommy train, but Kelly's kind of my backdoor person to slide in here and possibly pull out the
win. Yeah, so I've got 3 people who I think might be the winner.
Okay.
And my 3rd person, I just put them 3rd in the power ranking. So maybe I'll talk about that in a minute when we get to 3. Mm-hmm. But I think she's got a great chance. She's sitting there on one of those stumps on day 39 arguing her case.
That's what I think too, and I think people are going to have a hard time arguing a better case than her, which is cool.
Especially seeing how she treated her coming back from Island of the Idols and give something believable, but also crying and hiding her idol, all that was great strategic play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brandon, you have to grow your hair out when you play again.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So who is your 3 then, Brandon? Let's hear.
Okay. So 3 is. And this will be my, I think this is the one where I'm going out on a limb a little bit, but my 3 is Aaron, actually. So Aaron is, I think he's going to be the edit of you know how we've seen on a few seasons where somebody looks a little bit lost on the wrong side of things early and then they come back to win. So whether that's Adam Klein or Nick Wilson, you know, where it's they look like they're on the outs. I mean, Nick Wilson was an injury away from going out first. Right. So, and then he sort of found his way to the win. And I think with Aaron, we're starting to see the signs. They don't waste a minute with the edit. They don't waste a second of time. Right. So if they're showing his kids face on socks, it means something, you know, and they're showing him get emotional. That's all very important stuff. And it's even other little subtle things. There's a point where Elaine and Missy were slap boxing, you know, and you see, I mean, there's a confessional with Aaron where he talks about having to look out for her because she integrates into the new group so easily. But before that, they just show him kind of sitting back and watching her, you know, he's being shown as observed, whereas he seemed kind of hot headed at first. And now he's finding his rhythm, I think. So I just have this feeling that Aaron's going to be this guy that kind of comes out of the ashes and goes super deep. So I actually have Aaron as my number three overall.
I have him lower, but he's somebody who I've been defending really hard lately. And it was him, Missy, Tommy, and Kelly. Those are my four people who I really could see winning. Maybe Jason slides in there. But Aaron has gotten, yeah, like you said, they're showing his socks. He's worn those socks all season, and we've never had attention drawn to them. And now the attention is drawn to them when an important thing like him meeting Tommy for the first time happens. And I think that that's really telling of where this is going. I do think that him and Tommy do work together. They'd be stupid not to. And I've said this before. I don't know. I'm on like a little hot streak of saying this for some reason, but I really believe that the alpha males get voted out a lot of times for no reason, because they're never going to go on an immunity run that's going to take them to the end. And if they do, they don't win anyway. Most of the time, these guys don't win. So they do kind of need to team up. And I think Aaron and Tommy are likable enough that if they team up, people aren't going to be super worried about them because they're going to feel aligned with them. And I think that that's like they're going to be on the right side of the numbers almost the entire post-merge. One of them will eventually get voted out. But I do think the other one of them will be sitting at final three, probably next to Kelly, and then maybe next to either Nora, Karishma, Janet, who knows? But yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think you're right. And like I was talking to my son, Will, who knows, who is more insightful than I am. So I did like a little pregame for this, talking with him. And he pointed out, he's like, yeah, you know, the only relationship that they showed really at all with the new Vokai was Tommy and Aaron. Like, that's it, right? And so, yeah, you know, to put that in there, you just have the feeling that that's going to be a long-term deal, right? Like, if Aaron getting voted out next week, or Tommy, or the week after, they wouldn't foreshadow that relationship. And so it's going to be like a Dom Wendell kind of thing, where they prop each other up to the, I think, really deep in the game. So I think that's going to be a meaningful relationship, and there's a reason that they showed it to us last week.
Yep, I totally agree.
I think my only problem with Aaron is, like, I totally get everything that everyone's saying, like, both here and, like, you know, on every social media. But, like, I just – maybe I haven't been paying attention, but I don't really – like, I just don't feel it. And that's, like, not really – I mean, there's – it's not really anything to go off of. But, like, at some point, like, you know, Survivor's like an emotional show, right? Like, you get it because you want to be invested in it. And, like, I don't really – Maybe I'm just being, like, you know, not paying attention to the TV, but I don't think the Aaron thing has hit me yet. So I have a little lower.
I'm open to it. You'll get there. My number three is Janet. I said this, I think she's like a lock to hit the merge right now. I just think she's lined up so perfectly. They're in the numbers 5-2. If somebody's going to get voted out from Vokai, it's going to be Nora. If they're going to try to blindside somebody from Vokai, it's going to be Jamal or Jack. They're not going to try to blindside Janet. I don't think there's any reason to, but with how this season's been going, maybe something that there's no reason to do is what happens. But I think Janet is a lock. As long as there's no other tribe stop, I think she's an absolute lock to hit the merge right now.
Yeah, I think she's in good shape. I mean, I don't have her that high, but I'd be surprised if she went, you know, anytime real soon. I have her kind of more middle of the pack, but yeah, I think she's very strong.
Who do you have, intern?
I have Jack. I still think, you know, he's young enough, and he's not like he's probably playing off that, like, I'm pretty young. I just want to go out here for the experience thing. And I don't think that would be threatening to people. Also, like, he still does really well in challenges. So, you know, I mean, I guess, like, they voted out challenge threats before in the season, so, like, that doesn't really matter. But, you know, I think he's fine.
Yeah, so, Will and I were talking about Jack. He's got he's kind of got like a Sebastian thing going where he's not been shown, he's kind of like, hey, dude, like, it's, everything's great, I'm happy to be here. But it's not like there's no strategy at all. So if, and he may be a big part of those discussions, but if it's happening, we're not seeing it. So, so he'll probably float along because he's sort of not threatening in that way. Right. And so I think he'll probably have a similar finish to Sebastian, where he'll be like, you know, I don't know. He'll be like 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm.
I like the maturity we got from him last week too. And I think, you know, they showed him and Janet having the conversation with Karishma, where Karishma was explaining her whole upbringing and, you know, just her life in general and all the beliefs she has. And it was Janet and Jack who were the ones who were comforting her and talking to her. And, like, Janet, obviously the motherly role, the older lady out there, but then to have Jack also be a part of that, I think is a really good sign for him, at least in terms of how far he's going to go. We're going to be rooting for this guy the entire time. And I think that he's going to make it. I don't think he's going to be sitting at final three. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. But I do think that he's going to make it long enough that kids are going to really relate to Jack. And that's kind of the perspective that we're supposed to be seeing him through. Like, he's going to get nothing but positivity all season long. All right. My number four. I have Jamal. And so he has an idol too. I think he's on the right side of the numbers here. I don't think they're going to try to pull anything on him yet. When you have Dean over there on that tribe, like this is going to be kind of a theme here. When you have Dean on that tribe and you have Karishma, who is as weak in challenges as she is, you can't get rid of Jamal yet. Plus, he's in your big group of numbers. And even though he was an outsider on Vokai earlier on, he's just not an outsider in this group of Vokai. It all changes up once you hit that swap. So I think Jamal is fine. And if anything weird is starting to happen, I think they'll be a little too blatant with him. And then he'll end up playing his idol or something. But, you know, we also saw a real hard zoom in on his idol, which makes me think it is coming up in big, big. It's going to be a big player in this season.
I mean, it's crazy how much Jamal is like really, you know, fixed his position. Like he used to, you know, he was blindsided episode two and now he has an idol and he's probably safe for, you know, until the merge. So good job, Jamal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about Jamal that makes me think that he might be, he might be going home with the idol in his pocket because he's such a confident player. And I don't mean that as criticism, but he's feeling it right now. Like he's feeling pretty good about himself. And so I could see him waiting one vote too long. Right. And that's all it takes is one. So, so I don't have him that high because I think that he's going to make a confident mistake.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I think that his confident mistake comes closer to the Kelly Wentworth time, where it's final eight, final nine, you're feeling good about, oh, I've worked my way back in. Cause we see this all the time where somebody who started out on the outs thinks like works their way back in, thinks they're closer with these people than they are, and then gets voted out. Kind of James back in China. He was seen as an outsider at the beginning. Yeah, he worked hard and all of that, but he wasn't really seen as part of the core group of Amanda, Courtney, and Todd. And then he works his way back in, thinks he's closer with them than he is, gets voted out with idols in his pocket. So that makes it tough. Intern, who do you have at number four?
My number four, I have Elaine. I felt a little weird putting her this high, but I still think like she's gotten enough emotional content that like it was like emotional content and then a break. And then we saw her wrestling with Missy, but I don't think that's enough to like, you know, to like wrap up her story and let her go home. So
damn, that's a bad pick, I think.
Yeah, Elaine. So, and Elaine had the whole thing about like, oh, I'm never lucky. Well, I guess I'm lucky today. I think her luck's
good. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
That's like playing A plus Survivor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And they showed, you know, like they showed Aaron, who I think, as I've already said, is going to be a player in the second half or whatever, second, two thirds of this game, three quarters of this game, whatever. They showed him kind of sizing her up. And I just think that he and Tommy are going to realize like we can't let this go on for too long. So I don't even know if she makes the merge.
That's what I'm starting to worry too. Huge first episode from her. Nothing the next 2 weeks. We get a little bit from her last week, but Missy and Aaron are really talking about how Lyro is dead. L is for Lyro, whatever. She could kind of be our James Lim and I love relating this back to Ghost Island because it's been such a good pre-merge group, but she could be our James Lim where you sit there and you watch it happen and you don't think that tribe's going to lose. They lose and there's nothing that Elaine can do. And I think it could be Elaine over Elizabeth. Despite in these power rankings, I do have Elizabeth below Elaine this week, but it's just me. Brendan, who's your number four?
Okay, so my number four, and another person who I think might end up in the top four or five or so when it's all said and done is Lauren. I think Lauren's getting like a sneaky good at it, right? Mm-hmm. Like it does. They're not hitting us over the head with it, but she's super likable. Like the edit is super likable, and you can. I mean, mostly that's just her being her, right? But like you can edit somebody up or down in terms of like how charming they seem, right, on TV. And so so she's like, I think, super likable, insightful. She's an active player, like, and I think she's come to play and be aggressive, but she's savvy enough to like, she's not coming in too hot. Like there's another player who I have farther down my rankings who I think is maybe coming in a little bit too hot. And I think Lauren is she's appropriately aggressive. Like she's making moves, she's making things happen, but she's doing it in a really like a smooth way, right? So I think she's going to be in this game for a long time, and I don't think she's going anywhere this week for sure.
Yeah, I have her kind of in the middle here, but I do agree with you. I think that she's getting as positive as you can be getting from how many times is she gone to tribal? Once? I think that we're getting a good amount from her for somebody who's only been to tribal once. I think the only time we didn't really hear from her in an episode was actually the week they went to tribal. Or no, it was the week after they went to tribal. That's right. I like where Lauren's sitting. I have Jason at 5, another one who I think is like the Dave Wright here. You know, I'm on the wrong side. I look for an idol. I'm in trouble. Turns it around. Seems like his turnaround has been complete. He's doing great in challenges. He's always being shown as sort of a hero here. So I really think that Jason's in a good spot moving forward. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him this season. And people are going to be really bummed when he eventually does go home, because I think he's going to end up falling just short. But I think for now, no reason for him to lose, especially since he's on that stacked tribe, that there's no reason that tribe should ever lose. So,
yeah, I mean, I can't disagree too much. I have him a few spots lower, but yeah, I kind of agree with everything you just said.
Okay. Who wants to go with their 5 next? Anybody?
Yeah. So my 5 is Elizabeth. So she had a little bit of a quiet edit, in the episode, but I think she's, I don't know. She just has the vibe of somebody who's going to go for a while. I don't think she's super high on anybody's radar right now. Maybe she should be, but she isn't. So I just think she's in a good spot, and obviously she's on the tribe that's gonna win for a little while. So I just don't think she's really in any danger anytime soon.
Yeah, I have her lower. I gave intern crap for Elaine, but I put Elizabeth even lower. I think that Elizabeth's in trouble if Missy and Aaron really do want to get rid of somebody there. Now, granted, I still think that tribe's going to win, but why not get rid of Elizabeth? If everybody on Bokai is willing to get rid of Elizabeth, why not get rid of her? So I do worry about her.
Well, I think the reason – so I'm going to give away one of my later picks, but I okay. think that that it's not going to be the Aaron-Missy show anymore. I think it's going to be the Aaron – Tommy Aaron show, Tommy and I think Missy's going to be left out in the cold.
Is Missy a villain? That's the question.
Oh yeah,
I think she's a little bit reckless, and she is kind of war dog in another body, in that okay. she's making moves aggressively. She's wanted to play, she's playing, and she feels like, okay, I'm going to go all out and be outside the box and all that kind of stuff. And I think sometimes making moves for the sake of making moves early, can be dangerous. I don't think she's playing the long game. Like, if she thinks she is, because, you know, she's wanting to build a resume and show that she was kind of driving the action from the jump. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not the first to say this, but I think she's coming out a little hot. And whereas Lauren is like super subtle and smooth and under the radar in the way she's playing the game, Missy's the opposite.
Right.
So Missy's just more out there with it. Like, and she's not, I don't think she's altogether interested in hiding the fact that she's the one making things happen and pulling the strings. And that just catches up with you before long. And so I could see two people like Tommy and Aaron getting together and saying like, let's do this before it's too late.
Yeah. I do worry. Missy was my preseason winner pick. And I really like Missy from an entertainment standpoint. I think she's a good player. I do think she's playing too aggressively, though. And I do worry that it's going to bite her. You know what, though? If you're going to go out and play, like, I'm all for I wish everybody played like Missy. I don't think it's the best gameplay, but I wish everybody played that way, because it is very, very entertaining. And I think it's very fun to watch. And it's not that I like when Missy is a villain. She's not a villain that you sit here and go, oh, my God, I can't stand her. She's a villain in a I can't believe she's doing that kind of way, which I think is better. Like, how aggressive L is for Lyro, Orange is dead. I don't want to see it. They're done. I love that. That's so, it's like, it's so intense. And again, the Orange curse just continues. It's nobody can ever get away from
it. It really does. But I don't think, I think she will be, she already is and will be a star of this season and will probably play again. And I have a lot of respect for the way that she's playing. I don't think that, I think it's hard to win that way when you do it this early. It's all timing. And I think her timing is a little bit off, but I may be wrong. I mean, maybe she's going to cruise to the end. And I don't think that the edit that she's getting so far is a winner's edit. Agreed. Like she seems, like, I think viewers probably respect the way she's playing the game, but don't necessarily, I don't know, hardcore fans, I'm sure, love it, right? But like, mm-hmm. Joe average America is probably maybe a little turned off because mm-hmm. because she just like, she seems to, I don't know, it's vindictive is not the right word, but like she'll come at people in ways that maybe you don't always need to. Like she came at, who was it?
At Dean.
Yeah. What was it? Was it Charisma maybe?
Well, there was that confessional where like, when Detective Kowalski was out and Misty was like, yeah, of course it's me. I got rid of your girl. Mm-hmm. So what? And it's like, you know, that was a little unnecessary. You know, you didn't really need to like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe everybody's a little bit like spiteful in their confessionals and, you know, likes to throw shade as, you know, a method of, you know, getting stress out. But, you know,
yeah, her line was what? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. You really shouldn't. Yeah. You really should not. And I was like, wow, she's like pissed right now. She's going in. Yeah. So there's villains there.
That said, I mean, Dean, in her defense, Dean didn't handle it very well. Right. And like, no. Dean came at her and so Dean kind of got what he had coming, I guess, with that behind the scenes commentary. So I don't know. I mean, it was an emotional moment for both of them. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess she's skating that line between, you know, like if you ask, is she a villain or isn't she? I don't think so. I don't think she's treading into villain territory yet, but I could see her breaking that way. Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see. And it's rare that, I mean, it's rare that the villain wins Survivor, you know, it just is. So I don't know. I think she's like just on the wrong side of it from the way she's being portrayed. And I think she's playing a high risk, high reward game. And I just think it's going to come back to get her. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Wouldn't it make sense that on the season where two of the best known villains who have won Survivor are teaching them how to play, that Missy would be the winner of the season though? You know, poetry. Who's your number five, intern?
My number five, I have Jamal, for all the reasons we stated earlier. He got himself out of the funk, has an idol and like looks to be fine. And then I'll just go straight on to number six. I have Janet for also the aforementioned reasons. So like everything we get from her is just like her, you know, it's always like the older person on the tribe is like, they may not get along, but she looks like she's done a great job of ingratiating herself with the tribe. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I think she's playing great. I'll just do my six and seven real quick since we've already talked about both of them. Six, Jack. Seven, Lauren. Or intern, you had Jack at three. But again, Jack's on that tribe. I don't think they try to take a shot at him yet. You still have Dean there. And then Lauren, I completely agree with everything Brendan said earlier. So I just those are my six and my seven. So sorry to get a little ahead. But
So I'll go six, seven as well. Seven, we've already talked about Jason and he's my seven and I can't disagree with anything Phil said there. As far as six, so far, like through my first five, they were all five people are people that I could see being in the final five. Not I'm not sure that they will, but I could see them all getting that far. Six, this is a guy that I don't think has any chance at all of winning, but I just don't think he's got any chance of going home this week. And that is Dan. So Dan, you know, his edit has been 100% negative. And I just don't think he can recover from it. And like I said before, man, they edit this thing down to the second. Everything's deliberate, what you see. And, you're just seeing things that are not, he can't win. There's just no way. There's just no way. Right.
And it's a good way to put that.
If I had to put money on this season on a, you know, I'd put my house on the fact that he's not going to win the game. So I think he's not going anywhere this week. He's on the right tribe and I think he's just, there are bigger fish to fry right now. If Vokai were to lose, but there's no chance he wins.
Yeah. I it was funny. Cause as you were saying it, you hadn't even said his name yet. And I'd already typed in Dan. Cause as soon as you said, I don't see them going home this week,
yeah.
but there's no way they win. That is how everybody is explaining Dan right now. I nobody thinks Dan can win, but I don't think anybody thinks Dan is in trouble. It's weird. It's a very weird. I don't know. I'm a little bit lower, not much lower, but just a little, just in case something crazy happens. Intern, who's your number seven?
Round up seven. I have Aaron. I could have put him higher, but I'm not still completely sold yet through maybe my own fault that he is you know, super solid to win. So, but I think he's, you know, in a good spot, especially with that Sox thing that he had, which is great. So,
yeah, I have Aaron at 8. So all of us have pretty much Aaron. I mean, I don't have him quite in the top half, but all of us almost have Aaron in the top half. What a turnaround, because after the first episode, it was, well, Aaron's next. There's a girls' alliance. It looks like one of the girls is just going to pull this out easily. They're going to walk to the finish line here. They're just going to have their way. Aaron and Dean are done. And Aaron was the only one left out of the first vote. When Ronnie went home, it was only Aaron who voted the wrong way. Even Dean voted the right way. It was the only time Dean did vote the right way all season, but he did vote the right way. And now I'm sitting here going, man, Aaron, I would be shocked if Aaron's not at the family visit. I'd be absolutely floored. Yeah. If we're seeing his son on his socks, not that his son's going to be the family visit, but if we're seeing his son on his socks, that storyline needs to be there.
You're on my socks and you can't recognize them because they're dirty now.
Yeah, exactly. They're all one color at this point.
Yeah, like I said, I think my bold take is he's one of the final three. And and imagine this, like, so, and you know, the chances aren't very good, but imagine you had Kelly, Aaron, and so that means, you know, if Aaron does what it takes to get to the final three, you know, from where he came from, and if you had Kelly and then Tommy, I think you'd, for the first time in a long time, well, I guess not too long, if you think back to 35, but you'd have a season where you might have all three people getting a lot of votes. And I think maybe that's my other bold take this for this point in the game, is that I think we're going to see a really close vote. However it shakes out, I think we're not going to see a walk. We're going to see, you know, somebody win by a vote, and we're going to see all three finalists get votes.
Yeah, because everybody thinks that Nora or Karishma are definitely going to the final three. But if Karishma gets to the final three, is Karishma like necessarily a goat? I don't think Karishma is a goat. Like, a lot of people want to automatically lump her in as that just because she's so bad in challenges. But once you hit the individual portion of the game, it doesn't matter how bad you are at challenges. And pretty much everybody who has said bad things about Karishma has gone home. So maybe it'll feel like she got dragged there because of her early gameplay. But as a lot of people will say, when they get to the end and the jury's voting, what you did pre-merge really doesn't matter. And so if that's the case, I don't necessarily think Karishma is a goat. And I don't think that people are going to be able to keep Nora around all the way to final three. I think she is going to be like Natalie Cole. I still think Nora is going to go home pre-merge. And I know that's going to be heartbreaking to people. But even look at Abby Maria. She got all the way to final six twice, I'm pretty sure. Was it sixth and seventh, something like that? She gets really deep in the game twice, and they still don't take her to the end, even though she's a guaranteed zero vote getter both times. They still don't take her to the end. So I do agree. I think that if you look at everybody else in this lineup, I don't see somebody who gets to the end and gets zero votes, because if they get to the end, they're going to have done something that earned them getting to the end.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, wait, what number are we on now?
Yeah, we're
you're both at 8. I had Aaron at 8, and then I went on my speech.
Okay, so my 8 is Janet, and I think Janet's in a really good spot, but just because she's Lyra. So like my top 7, I'm looking at it now. My top 7 were, with the exception of Kelly, were all Vokai. So now we get to a Lyro, and it's Janet, and I think she's of the Lyro, she's in a really good spot, so I don't think she's going anywhere.
Yeah, okay. So I get what you're doing there. It's that one tribe is just so guaranteed.
Yeah, you know, and they're setting this thing up. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but in Ghost Island, they early on it was like this Dom versus Chris Noble thing, right? And and they pumped that like every episode, Dom versus Chris Noble. But the reality was that they never went to a tribal council together until after the merge. And it just didn't matter. Like all this Dom versus Chris Noble thing. So, and it's kind of like this season where, you know, you talk about, oh, we got 4-4 on Vokai, and like, oh, it's going to be this clash. I think the 4-4 is irrelevant. They're not going to rocks. I doubt because why, you know, they're not going to lose. Yeah, so they're not going to need to, right? And the game's going to keep progressing. So I think that Lyro is probably going to lose the next couple, and then they'll merge them as early as they can merge them. And, you know, and then the whole game shifts. But I think this 4-4 business at Vokai it's much ado about nothing. I don't think anything's going to happen there.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that. I think we're going in 8-4 or 8-5, depending on when they decide to have the merge. I think that's what it's going to be.
Ouch.
Yeah. That's what I think. Who is your 8?
8. I have Lauren. Agree with what both of you guys have said. I think she's like, you know, been stealthy with what she's been able to do. Like, she just, like, called out at the challenge, like, oh, yeah, Nora's sitting. And everyone was like, yeah, we're okay with that. I mean, there was a consensus anyways. But, you know, the fact that she's able to do it and not have, like, people be super mad about it, like, I think is pretty good.
Okay, yeah, so that's a great point. And I guess I can't put my finger on why this is. But to me, like, if Missy had said the same exact thing, it would have come off a little bit more biting, like a little harsher. And we would have been like, oh, that's rough. You know, whereas when Lauren does it, it's like, oh, wasn't that funny?
Yeah, it's like, that's
you know
fine.
What I'm saying? Like,
it's like, ooh, it's so a little harsh, but you know, that's okay.
It's something she's got. Like, I don't know what it is, but she has, and I think it's going to serve her well, but like, she just, even though she is aggressive and she is, she's playing the game hard, she's not coming off that way, which is a great thing for her. I think that's why I think she's going to go really deep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a straightforward way, but not like it's like, this is the deal. I don't hate you. This is just how it is. It's not like like you're sitting out. Take that.
It's like Lauren Rimmer. It's just, it's on the nose. Yeah. But most people like it. Most people like it.
Yeah.
My number nine is Dan. We've already talked about Dan. I agree with what Brendan said, like 100%. He's not going home this week. He's not going to win. He's the only other person, maybe, if he were to get to final three, he would get probably zero votes, unless he did something really crazy post-merge. But I could see him being a zero vote getter at final three, although I don't think he's going to quite get that far, but I do think we're going to see a lot more of him this season.
Yeah, I think so. So my number nine is Elaine. And so she's like my, let me see. Oh, she's not quite my lowest placing Vokai, but close to it. I think that, well, we already talked about this, but I think Aaron is going to lead the charge. We've kind of had some foreshadowing there. She's just too likable and she's great on TV. And so it'll be sad to see her go if she does go early-ish or sooner than later. But I don't think she's going to make the deep run. I wish she would, but I don't think she will.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be so hard for her. And it was after that first episode, it just seemed like she was going to be the star of this season and everything was going to go great for her. And the way that this is shaping up, everything that was said about her in that first episode looks like it's actually going to come true, where it was, you know, she's such a threat. She's so likable. We should get rid of her now.
Yeah,
I think it's happening way sooner than later. So I have her even lower than you do, Brandon. I have her even lower.
Unfortunate.
Robert, who's your nine?
Nine. I have Jason. He's been picking it up in terms of his status in the tribe, but I don't know if he's completely like made it out of the woods yet. I mean, it looks like, you know, he's doing well. Which tribe is he on again? He's on the good tribe. Yeah. So like, whatever, like he'll be good. I don't think he's going home this week. He still could get like, I guess there's a chance he could get voted out pre-merge, but like, I think he's fine for the merge. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be really surprised if he went pre-merge. I'd be like floored. Absolutely floored, especially a Lyro's going home. And that's why my next three people are all the Lyro ladies or the Lyro ladies on new Vokai. That's all three of them. Missy, Elaine, Elizabeth, just right down the line. I think Missy, because of her connection to Aaron and because it looks like Aaron's done the most work to actually get in, I think that means Missy's going to be fine there. I put her a little bit ahead of Elaine and Elizabeth. Elaine, though, looks like the fun loving. Everybody's having a good time. We heard nothing from Elizabeth last week. And that worries me because when we get these swaps, how you fit in is very important to the storyline. It's very important to how you're going to do. We know how Aaron's fitting in. We know that he's got Missy right next to him as like his right-hand man. What does that mean for Elizabeth? We did not see Elizabeth do anything. Elaine is making everybody laugh, tackling Missy to the ground. I love that there was a last time, you know, just like last time. I got you the same way I got you last time. But what are we doing with Elizabeth? I just don't know. I really cannot figure it out. Elizabeth's a big drop for me this week because last week I had her all the way up, I think like at number 5 or something, and now I'm putting her all the way down here at number 12. I think the swap, out of everybody on that tribe that I think is going to dominate straight through and there's not even going to be a problem anyway, Elizabeth is the one that I do worry the most for.
I mean, do we know who Elizabeth is close with? Like, I don't think so.
I mean, it always seems like she's close with the person who's about to be voted out of the game.
Which might not be a good sign if you're allies with Elizabeth.
True.
Yeah, well, you know, I had her all the way up at 5, and as I think about it, maybe I regret that. Like, I think that she... Robert, you bring up a good question. Like, the fact that we don't really know who she's close with is probably a bad thing. So, and her edit has been... Of the people that are, I have kind of on the, you know, higher up, it's not as strong. But again, if we're just thinking about this week, I think she's fine for this week. I don't see her as a, you know, a final five person, but this week I think she's perfectly safe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this week, and that's what this is. It's all about this week, but I worry for Elizabeth moving forward because, I mean, it seemed like we didn't even know she was close with Tom, and then Tom's name came up that one time, and she said, but I like Tom. Tom's great. I really, and it's like, oh, I didn't know that. And she wanted the Girls Alliance, but Chelsea goes home. So it doesn't feel like she has any pull, which is, you know, a big deal. Maybe not yet, but it will be a big deal very soon, especially if they're going to be as down in numbers as the original Lyra looks like they're going to be down once they hit a merge. You need people who can pull people to your side, and Elizabeth is just not that person, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got way too far ahead just because all three of them went together. But if everybody,
yeah, so what are we? I've got my, so my,
so number, you're both up to 10. I went 10, 11, 12, but you know.
So my number 10 is Jack. He's, I think he's going to kind of end up placing sort of in a similar spot to where Sebastian was. I think he's supposed to be that character. And I think he's actually going to wind up in a similar spot in the game. So like 6, 7, somewhere in there. But I have him at number 10 because he's the second highest placing Lyro. So I have Janet ahead of him. I think Janet's safer than he is, but I think, you know, I basically have most of the Lyros down the down the list. So because I think they're gonna lose this week.
Yep. All right. Oh, yeah. Intern, who's your 10?
10 I have Dan. And I think like, yeah, he isn't going home soon, but he isn't like winning. But like, I mean, they could also like reasonably just like, you know, send him home pre-merge. I mean, I don't think he will be, but like, we just don't know anything about him other than he's like a little dopey, but you know.
It's a struggle.
I don't think that like anyone this far down is like necessarily in danger yet, but.
Yeah, I'm only worried about my bottom three, to be honest. I'm only worried about my bottom three, and you know, I've already done 12, so the last three that I have left are the only three that I actually think can go home this week. I don't think any of the others are, but
just to round it out, my 11 is Elizabeth, for what we just discussed, and then 12 is Missy, because like her edit took a turn into villainy, if that's a word, maybe.
Yeah, that's a word.
Okay,
yeah.
Sick.
He went to Virginia Tech in brick. Okay.
Well, I wasn't an English major. I did math. That's not, we don't learn about the word villainy in math class.
So. That's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. So she seems like very,
well, it would be a villainous edit, but villainy is a word.
Yes.
Yeah, it works. There we go. Yeah.
Thank you, Brendan. Thank you.
Yeah.
You want to come on every week and just teach Robert how to speak? I'm ready.
Yeah, just watch Brendan teach me. Just like, all right, it's math class now. Now it's English class. Read the Odyssey or something. Yeah. All right, I'm good. I'm done. I'm done.
All right,
11, 12.
Brendan's so turn 11, to take over.
Yeah, 11 is Missy, and I just think, I mean, I could be totally wrong on this. I mean, she may be going to the end, but I think this is a boom or bust prospect here. I think she's and I'm betting on bust. I think she is going out early. Probably not this week, but I think it's going to happen sooner than later. If it doesn't happen right before the merge, it's going to happen right after. Mm-hmm. So, and she's a big character, and it'll be a shame if it happens, but I think that's what's going on.
Yeah. It's funny how everybody is so low on her. And I don't just mean the three of us. I mean, a lot of the internet is the turn for Missy. Everybody's really worried about her. I still think she's going to go really far though. I really do think you're bust is the best way to describe it, I think, because you know, it's either going to be she's in the finale or she's going home right after the merge. So
yeah,
but I think she's fine for now. I like Missy. And then who's your 12, Brandon, since we both did ours?
So my 12 is Jamal, and for the reasons I described earlier, I think that he's just playing with enough confidence that I could see him just misplaying his idol. It's kind of like when Carl was talking to you guys about Chelsea misplaying her idol. Mm-hmm. I just have this feeling. I mean, I could be wrong. What Jamal's got going for him is he seems very like the what we get in the edit is that he's very level headed, mm-hmm. like he's very calm and perceptive, and so he's playing a slowed down game. Like he's seeing things slowly, and I mean that in a good way. Like there doesn't seem to be any panic in the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that may turn into overconfidence where he, like I said, he may play that idol one boat too late. Mm-hmm. So, So I don't, you know, I think he's, it wouldn't shock me if he went really deep in the game, but it also wouldn't shock me if he were out pretty soon.
Yeah. He's on the weaker tribe. Very rarely do we just get the three people who we think will go home as the next three people to go in the game. And so when I look at this, I'm like, oh, Jamal could be that person. I see it being Jamal probably more than Jack, Janet, or Kelly. So not this week, though. Not this week.
If Jamal lives like a few more, I think if he gets to the league, he'll be in a lot better of a spot.
Mm-hmm. And then my 13 is Nora. So putting her ahead of Karishma and Dean, just because I don't think that it's going to happen yet where they're going to get rid of her. But if they start to realize, okay, we have a 5-2 advantage, Nora's getting too unpredictable, Nora's getting a little too crazy, let's get rid of Nora. Do it before the merge, before she can really, really ruin your game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, so my 13 is Karishma. Mm-hmm. But the bottom three for me are pretty interchangeable. You know, it could be Karishma this week. Maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, I think her run is going to run out. I don't think she's going to find a way to deepen the game, but I don't know. Maybe she will if she can survive to the merge, but I just don't see it.
Yeah. I think the thing Nora has against her is like, I feel like the other people on her tribe would be worried that she would flip. Like Karishma mm-hmm. is like, oh yeah, like old Lyra's dead. Like whatever. I'll just align with anyone that like lets me get vengeance or whatever. And then Dean is kind of just dead in the water right now. But Nora is like, she could be on our side, but she could betray us. And I think that's like, people to deal with, right?
Yeah, I'll take it a step further with Nora. So I have Nora as my 14 and Dean as my 15. But again, you could flip them. So the thing about Nora is that she's super, she's awesome on TV, but she's like, she seems crazy. And totally unpredictable and good. Survivor players want to like the thing that I value most, not to say I was a good survivor player, but if I were out there under any circumstances, what I would want is people who are predictable. Mm-hmm. And it gets to like what we were talking about before with Tom, again, voting out Tom and how that didn't really make a lot of sense because he's super predictable. Mm-hmm. Like I think having those people around is a really good thing. And having people who are totally unpredictable is scary. Right. So I think that if I were on Nora's tribe, I would probably look to get rid of her, not because she's, you know, I mean, it seems like maybe she's getting on people's nerves a little bit, but that's never the reason to do it. It would be because you don't know what she's going to do next. And, and you want to, you know, uncertainty is a really scary thing out there. So I'd get rid of her just because you don't know what she's going to do. Like it's, I think of her as like a time bomb that's going to go off eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you just don't know who's going to catch the shrapnel, right? It could be anybody. Yeah. And so you don't want to be that person that's like catching the shrapnel. And it's a shame because she's set up in a really, she was set up to do okay, I think. And still, I think could do all right, but she's finding a way to blow it. A little bit like Bradley from my season. I don't know if you guys remember Bradley from my season.
I don't remember. A little bit like that.
Who? What was he?
Just a random guy who like texts me.
I think also the thing with Nora is like, so, for example, with Karishma, like people know that as soon as she has access to Vokai members, she's flipping, and like you can predict like the flip. But with Nora, she could like wake up and be like, "Oh, you know what would be fun? Like going over with old Lyra. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun, right?"
She could decide that 5 minutes before Tribal and think it's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, and then have that like crazy laugh of hers, which is incredibly entertaining. So,
and
I just don't know that she's thinking more than. You know, more than like a few minutes ahead. And so, you know, it's just like, she's just going, right? Like she's just going full speed. And I mean, it was like that when she was with Rob and Sander, where, you know, they're like, please think about it for a minute, you know, and Sander's eat your watermelon, that whole bit. Hmm. And she's couldn't make a decision fast enough, you know? And so I think that's kind of where she is. She's just 100 miles an hour and it's just scary. So, she's awesome on TV and I bet you she's a lot of fun in person. But I just, she's too unpredictable to want to keep around as an ally. So you get rid of her.
Yeah. And I think when you have, if you're between Karishma and Dean or Nora this week, my gut tells me Karishma or Dean go, but when it comes down to, it's just one versus one, you get rid of Nora before you get rid of the other.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you have Dean, and you're Kelly, you have a relationship with Dean that extends beyond the game, which is a huge thing to have. And, you know, if you have charisma, all of you know that charisma is never going back to her old people because she has said that so many times over and over and over again. But Nora could just get you. She could just get you at any time. She's Debbie. And that's what Aubrey said about Debbie. Like, I can't play with Debbie. I can't do this. And that's what's going to happen with Nora eventually. So I do go Nora 13, Charisma 14, Dean 15. I think that Dean is done. I think it makes more sense to get rid of Dean because I think Dean has shown that he's pretty charismatic. He seems like he could actually be a threat to maybe turn it around and be a potential threat to win at the end. Not that I'm saying he will based on what we've seen, but if you're playing the game with him, you might think that out of those three, Dean could get back with somebody. He could maybe work with Tommy, who he's never met before, and they could go right to the end. And now you can't get rid of him, and he's likable. So I think that he does make more sense to get rid of this time. But then when I look at, you know, Charisma versus Nora, I don't know. I think that's what's going to be happening next week, though.
So the only reason I picked Dean at the bottom was just I felt like the content that we saw last week where Kelly makes this connection with Dean. Mm-hmm. I have a, so here's my gut feel on this week's episode is that on the island, they're all going to know that it's Dean. Like, mm-hmm. like the players all know it's Dean for a day in advance or for, you know, from the minute they lose, cause they're going to lose, they're going to know it's Dean and everybody knows it's Dean and it's Dean. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course Survivor doesn't want it to be quite so obvious. And so I think the Dean Kelly connection in this last episode was there to set up a situation where Kelly can be like, I don't know, you know, there'll be some Kelly confessional where she looks conflicted and isn't sure whether it should be Dean or not, but I think it's going to be Dean all along, and they'll get rid of him and that'll be that. And you would say like, well, how does that make any sense to get rid of Dean? He's one of the only strong guys left. But when you look down the Lyro list of players, like they're just, I think it looks to me like that, like a group of players who are going to decide, look, we're probably not winning anyway. The merge is around the corner. Let's just play for the merge and not worry about strength. And so, yeah, Dean's maybe our best athlete at this point, but who cares? And,
that's exactly what I think is going to happen. I think that they're just playing for let's worry about the merge because we're not going to beat the other tribe anyway. Let's get rid of Dean.
Like at this point, if you voted out Tom, who's a probably a good challenge asset, like, you know, you might as well just commit and go all the way and get out all your enemies despite challenge performance.
So I think that's the way it's going.
Yeah,
I completely agree. And intern, how do you end yours?
I end mine the same way as you do. I go Nora, Karishma, Dean.
Okay, so we all have Dean in the last spot. We're all feeling like invisible Dean, purple Dean, who has turned it around and pretty much was the star of last week's episode, him and Karishma. We're all feeling like this is it.
Yeah, I think they're letting us get to know Dean a little bit before they cut him loose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it feels like to me too. Well, we have nobody left to pick for Eliminator, Brendan. So the only person I have to ask that question is intern, who do you want to take this week? Let's see how long you keep this going against Vaughn.
Yeah. Vaughn's a tough opponent. Let's go with Elizabeth.
Okay. I really hope Elizabeth go home. No. You did not.
Actually, if I lost, it would be kind of funny because then Alexa would actually lose, but she didn't really do anything.
She didn't do anything. I know. But then again, it's Alexa versus Vaughn, and neither one of them has done anything. So you know what? I don't really care.
Now that I'm the only one left, I deserve it.
You do. You do. Brendan, we have not really talked much about the Island of the Idols at all because it was so it makes it a little tough to fit that in. But how are you feeling about that overall? How are you feeling about Rob and Sandra? How are you, you know, what are you thinking? Is it too extreme? Is there things that you like and things you don't? What are you thinking about it?
Yeah, so I think most people would agree that anytime you can get, especially, well, in my view, Sandra on your screen, it's a good thing, but it's hard because it robs. So Survivor's a game that is about the people, the personalities. And so, you know, when you're spending 10 minutes at Island of the Idols, it makes it tough to have enough time with a player. So that, I guess that would be my only gripe is that it's time not spent with getting to know the players on the island. I think they've done a smart thing and they've kind of mitigated that a little bit by not breaking into three tribes. And Phil and I were talking about this before we got on, like that this is the first time in a really long time. How you said it, Phil. When was the last time they did this?
San Juan del Sur.
Yeah. Okay. So really, a really long time.
Yeah.
But they didn't go to three tribes. And I have to imagine that that's a deliberate thing because, you know, they've kind of learned, like, when you have a, what would be in this case, a fourth island, you know, with, if you had three tribes, mm-hmm. it's just hard to get on four beaches in an episode. So I think that's been smart to maybe keep this at two tribes so that when you do go over to the Island of the Idols, you're not too scattered. Sandra's awesome. I've never met Rob. He's always good on TV. Sandra, I've met in person, and she is one of the coolest Survivor people I've met. And mm-hmm. so it's fun watching her out there. I wish she had a little bit more to say because everything she says is funny all the time. So, mm-hmm. So I love Sandra. And I think the season on a whole, we've got some pretty good characters. It's like a, I'm not the first person to say this, but it's, you know, it's like a pretty woman driven season so far.
Yeah.
And, which is kind of cool because we don't always see that. So, so it's been good. And I think I have high hopes for how this thing's going to end up. I think it'll be pretty heavy action. Like, we've got enough aggressive players that it's going to be, hopefully we won't have those lulls that we get in some seasons where I think this will be pretty good action from here to the finish.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's just going to keep on being intense the entire time. I think nobody's going to sit around and allow themselves to get voted out early in this game. Even some of the worst players, like Nora, she's already said, I'm here to do everything. I don't care. So I think that even her, you know, she'll be looking to make moves if she feels like she's on the bottom. Exactly. I did like last week's because we didn't go to Island of the Idols. I think that, you know, it's always going to be good if they don't focus too heavily on it the entire time. The Vince episode was a lot of Island of the Idols, and I would like it to kind of not take up 10 minutes. If it's going to take up like five, I guess I can get behind that, but too much is too much, especially now that we're getting into the individual portion, getting close to the individual portion of the game.
Yeah.
Where the alliances are what matters.
Going, you think
oh, absolutely.
All the way through to, you know, five or whatever.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to have Rob and Sandra out there, you're going to keep it to the finale.
Yeah. I'm glad that it's not every week though, even if it's only not this week because of the swap. Mm-hmm. It would have been like really constricting if like they had the swap and Island of the Idols this week. So I'm glad they'll relax it a little bit when they need to.
Yeah, which I think is good that they're willing to do that, because I was worried that it would be, how can we get Rob and Sandra on the screen as much as possible? And I think this is better. Just have them come into their little spy shack at the end so that they can laugh and heckle everybody. These three love going to tribal council, says Sandra.
Yeah.
Poor Tom, Dean, and Karishma. What did they do? But
drew the orange buff. That's what they did.
They got the orange buff. Ugh. But do you have anything else here, Brendan, that you want to say about this before we call it?
No, I think we've said it all. I don't know. I'm going to turn it over to Robert. Robert's really running this show. In case anyone didn't know.
Yeah, it's actually me.
This is the Robert show. So Robert,
behind the scenes.
How are you going to take us out?
Are we just doing the wrap up, Phil?
Am I directing the show?
Brendan's directing it. I mean, he's letting you close it out. Do it.
And you just like had a coup d'état on this whole operation.
Let's hear it. What are you doing,
Robert?
What? Robert? Oh, me? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Brendan, this is what happens. This is why don't call him Robert ever again. Whoa, whoa, he is intern until he can pick up on the clues here. This guy right here.
Oh, my God. All right. Well,
let's hear it.
All right. Well, I'm calling the wrap up. All right. Okay. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to help us out over on Patreon. $1 helps, but we have different things. We have the Wilgle room where Phil talks with the old specialist Will. Is that for five or ten? That's for $10 patron.
It's five, ten, and five? 20.
Oh yeah. Wow. I thought
And Will is texting me right now to figure out what time we're gonna go live. So
yeah, so if you want to listen like immediately afterwards, that sounds kind of cool. You could pop a few bucks. We do a Q&A also. You want to ask any questions you want to Phil and Alexa. That's pretty cool. I have some random questions I like asking them sometimes. So that's why I just became the intern and now I get to text them whenever I want.
Yeah, but we never answer.
You answer sometimes. I thought it was a pretty good deal.
Robert, can you get them to send me money as well somehow?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I got that. I got that.
Do you have five, $10, and $20 tiers, Brendan?
No, let me think that through. I'll get that.
Yeah. You got to do the, what is it? What is it all the survivors are doing these days?
I'm not big time enough for that. What do they call that? It's a cameo or something like that?
Cameo. Oh, there's got to be somebody who's willing. Come on.
Nah, man.
I would do it. I would buy it.
Bradley would pay you to do a cameo, wouldn't he?
He might. That might be fun. He might. Yeah, no, no, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. I'd be happy to, you know, you could book me for gigs, magic shows. I could dress up like a clown, whatever. Wow. But it might, I might charge more than 5, 10, or 20 for that.
Oh, God. See, that's the problem. We don't want to go too excessive here because we want people to like us. But I really feel with the service that we're providing here, I mean, it should be 20, 50, 100. I mean, no doubt.
$100, like, we won't complain.
Yeah. No, you can always give more. It's just the tier starts at 20. I don't know what you're not getting anything if you give us 100, but if you really wanted to, I'm all about that. The power ranking game has been great this year, by the way, because this season's been so unpredictable. So if you were a $20 patron, you have been partaking in this power ranking game, which I don't have the scores updated for, but I will post that in the Patreon only Facebook group. God, wow. I'm gone.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's terrible. Well, I'll be posting that in there sometime this weekend, or seeing that it's Sunday, sometime before Halloween, it'll be done. And everybody can see that. But that's been really fun. We have 25 people who are competing in it. And that doesn't include the fact that you're going against myself, intern/Alexa, and survivors. I'm pointing the wrong way. And survivors, Brendan, Bradley, more fun people. But yeah, we have all this stuff going on for our patrons. Alexa and I are going to do a retrospective, I think, tomorrow night. So if you're a $10 patron, that gets you the retrospective. Intern, what's our social media stuff? Hit it. Do it.
If you want to follow us on social media, go on to @SurvivorSpecialists on Twitter. There's also an Instagram, Survivor Specialists.
Alexa posted a picture, which I actually posted, and I hope my caption was good.
Survivor Specialist, just like, you know, in whatever social media that is relevant today. So not MySpace, but, you know, other stuff probably. And rate us on your podcast app of choice. We're on Spotify and iTunes. YouTube, leave a like if you want. Actually, you should. Subscribe. We're at like almost
60-50.
60-50. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool number. But 60-51 is a cooler number.
So I agree.
Yeah, do that. So
And Cameo Brendan Shapiro won, right?
Yeah. I'll set that up. I'll get right on that.
You're going to be getting a crap ton of requests after today. Oh, man. And then you're going to be like, Phil was right.
That? Is that where basically you just like somebody says, hey, can you give my like say happy birthday to my friend or something? Yeah. Like, is that what that is?
Yeah.
So I had people do that. Like they would just DM me through Instagram or whatever and say, hey, can you say happy birthday to my friend? And what's funny is like it happened back when I was on the show. It doesn't happen so much anymore, but like occasionally I would do it. Like if the person seemed nice and it would seem like an honest ask, I'd like send them a message. Oh, hey, happy birthday, little Johnny or whatever. And every now and again, I'd get somebody right back and be like, yeah, that was pretty good, but can you change it? I'm not kidding. And, so those are always funny. Like there was one where I had to do 3 or 4 takes.
Oh my God.
We got it.
I think Cameo is just one take. So they get it or they don't, you know, that's on them, but God, that's crazy. So you pretty much had casting editors. That's who you were. That's who you were sending your videos to.
Yeah.
God. Well, that's funny. I like that though. And see, you're like a normal human. You're like a nice guy. So you'll just do it for free. And you know, everybody else, man, the Cameo showed up and all of a sudden everybody's doing cameos. I'm like, oh God, if I text you, you better answer. That's all I'm going to say.
Are there a lot of people like reality show people that do that?
I think they are. And I'm not really giving shit. It's just something that I think popped up during Edge of Extinction a lot of the people started doing it because it just became a thing. I'm not saying that they wouldn't reach out to you on their own anyway, but I just think it's funny that once it started popping up, all of a sudden I look on my social media and here's Rick Devins and War Dog doing, you know, Cameo. And I'm like, really, really? War Dog, I damn phone. Oh, no Cameo. But, yeah.
Is
Carl? I'm waiting for Carl to do it. I want Carl.
Who's your guest for next week?
No, War Dog is. I gotta make sure it's locked in. Gotta make sure it's locked in. Our November 3rd one could be our most fun one, but we gotta make sure it's locked in. The date was confirmed. We gotta confirm a time. I'm waiting to hear back. So once I get that, I will say who it is. But I don't want to say it just in case we get in trouble because, you know, sometimes you bring guests onto your podcast who just start ripping apart other guests that are going to be on future podcasts. And it really can have an effect. So, you know.
Who are we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. Weird. I mean, it just happens sometimes. But no, I believe that I would say we're 99% sure. 99% sure. But, you know. Got to solidify.
If you want to find out who it is once we lock that in, follow us on social media.
It'll follow us $5 for $5. You'll get the inside scoop.
That's the real thing. I'm going to announce it when Will and I go into our podcast right now, but I can't say it now because nobody here is actually paying us. So that's for patrons only.
I happen to know for sure. For $20, I'll tell you just right now.
There you go. That's it. Everybody, Venmo, Brendan Shapiro won. $20. He'll tell you who our guest is. He does know who it is. He at least knows who it's supposed to be. So,
yeah. It's going to be great. I believe it's going to work out.
I think it will.
I believe Phil's going to make it all happen. And with Robert's help, and it's going to work out. It's going to be a great show. I will be tuned in.
Good, good. That's what I like to hear. And on Wednesday night, hopefully there's no game seven. That's all I'm going to say. Alexa should be back. If there's a game seven, intern, it might be you all over again. All right. But I don't think she's traveling for game seven, so she should be available on Wednesday night pretty much no matter what.
We'll see. Figure it out. Nats I'll text will win, her. Right? They'll just win, you know.
No, the Astros are going to win the next two games, right, Brendan?
I think you might be right. We're going to see. We get first pitches in 3 hours-ish.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
So we gotta get this one. This is big.
I'm gonna have faith. I'm gonna have blind faith that Nationals will pull it out. I don't care.
I know. Carl's always betting beer on things. I should see if Carl wants to put a bet on this thing.
Oh, he absolutely. All you have to do is tweet at him. He'll do it. I owe him 30 beers, so
I should tweet at him. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it would be a good idea for the two of you though. You're going against Cole and Verlander. I don't know. I don't know. You beat him once. I don't know if you're gonna beat him twice. So
but if we did win, that'd be so good.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Fantastic. But anyway, Brendan, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, always love having you on. And we will be back on Wednesday night, probably Alexa and I doing our recap. End the series in six. Go Nats. Doesn't matter who. Just end it in six. That's the type of baseball fan I am right now. See you everybody.